Remember, the Lord gave Elijah three commands. One was to anoint a new king over Syria that would be God would use as a tool of chastisement for Israel. He also told him to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. But then the third command he gave Elijah was to anoint Elisha to be the prophet that would follow Elijah. Now, the passage we have before us tonight is that moment and when Elijah goes to Elisha and now calls Elisha to this place of being the prophet of God. And so we're only going to look at three verses tonight, 19 through 21. But these three verses are absolutely loaded with some amazing things. And so I want us to look at verse 19. Bible says, so he departed, that being Elijah, thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Verse 21, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So let's look at these three verses tonight with the Lord's will. Father, I just come to you now. Pray you'd speak through your word. I pray you'd instruct us through your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray our hearts would be attentive and receptive to what you say to us. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. One of the things I want to kind of talk about, just kind of getting into this in an introduction sort of way, is to remember a truth about the Lord. There's not one person that's indispensable to God. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, simply this. You go through scriptures, you find out God always has someone to come along someone else or behind someone else. And with Elijah, Elijah's now came to the place and when God is going to begin to prepare a prophet that will take Elijah's place. And this prophet is Elisha. Now you find this all through scripture. If you remember Moses, when Moses was given the privilege of leading Israel out of Egyptian bondage, the purpose, if you remember, was that God would take them out of bondage straight to Canaan. But y'all remember what happened with Moses and his sin? And so what did God do? Did God just throw up his hands and say, well, I don't have nobody to lead the people anymore? No. He rose up Joshua. And Joshua served in Moses' stead. We find it true with David. If you remember David, David was a man who desired to build God's temple. But yet God told David, you can't build it. You have blood upon your hands. And so what did God do? Did he wash his hands of the temple? No. He rose up Solomon to build the temple. And we could go on and on and on and find out that there's not one person ever that God cannot work through or around to accomplish his perfect will. And we need to remember that because, listen, so many times, if we're not careful, we'll come to the place of thinking that, hey, this one person is the tool God needs. I want to tell you, there's not one person God needs. He doesn't need anybody. He can work through anybody. And we find this true with Elijah. Now, I want us to look at the character of Elisha. Because Elijah's going to anoint Elisha. And as Elijah anoints Elisha, I want you to see what caused God to put his eye on Elisha. I want you to see a few things real quick with me. The verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12. Now, you say, what in the world does that mean? Well, here's the glorious thing. It has now rained. And because it's rained, guess what? Crops are beginning to come up. They're beginning to prepare the fields for crops. And now Elisha is now at his home in his father's land. And he and 11 others are plowing. And Elisha is plowing behind the other 11. And he's working through the fields in which he has. Now, this is going to be the one Elijah is going to anoint to be the next prophet. Why is this significant? Because understand this. Elijah, if you remember from the beginning, Elijah's name means God is Jehovah or God is strength. But Elisha's name is very picturesque in that it is God is salvation. And now all of a sudden, God who is Jehovah, God who is strength, is now going to call a man whose name means God is salvation. And can I tell you, the contrast between these two people are absolutely amazing. I want you to look at a couple of things. First thing is his labor, Elisha's labor. Here's a man working in the fields when God called him. Now, this is significant. If you go all through Scripture, what do you find? That many times when God called men to certain tasks, he called them from where they were working. Let me give you an example. If you remember, Moses was tending the sheep. And he was in the fields of Jethro tending sheep when God called Moses. Gideon, if you remember, was in the threshing floor, threshing wheat when God called him. You find David, who was tending the flock of his father when God called him out of the fields. You find all through Scripture that God uses individuals that were laboring at their jobs or at their call so God could use them for his glory. Now, you remember the disciples. What were they doing, many of them, when the Lord called his disciples? They were toiling and fishing, right? Now, Matthew was collecting. Some of them were toiling and fishing. And God always calls men when they're at their task. Why is that important? Well, I believe it's this. God does not need ability. God needs availability. But availability comes with a willingness to work. Listen to this passage. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is the least is faithful also in what? Much. And he that is the unjust in the least is unjust also in much. In other words, why would God call and set aside somebody who could not be faithful in the everyday's affair of life? Why would God call somebody to a special task who is already unfaithful in the everyday things? And so Elisha was a man of character. His labor was identifying of that. Now remember, to have this many oxen speaks of his family. Here is a man, Elisha, who was of an affluent family. And listen, what contrast from Elijah? Elijah was a man from the desert. And yet God used Elijah. And now God's going to call Elisha a man that came from an affluent family. So what does that tell us? That tells us, listen, it doesn't matter what we have. It don't matter what we can do. It don't matter what we don't have. And it don't matter what we can't do. What matters is, are we willing to be a vessel God uses? And that's all that matters. God doesn't need anything else but our availability. And this labor of Elisha speaks, I think, volumes of why God put his finger on Elisha. His life was a life that was in direct contrast to Elijah in many forms. Not only his family life, which we dealt with, where he came from, which we dealt with, but also, if you remember this, Elijah was a man who was called the prophet of fire. Y'all remember that? I mean, Elijah was a man who literally destroyed. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a good way. How many agree it was God that used Elijah to destroy the prophets of Baal? And Elijah was a man that was literally to be disruptive, given the culture of idolatry in that day. But when God calls Elijah, he's going to be a prophet of compassion. He's going to be a prophet that does not destroy, but a prophet that builds up and heals. I mean, Elisha is a man in which God's going to use to bring revival to Israel, yes. But in doing so, Elisha is going to operate in a whole different realm of ministry. But under the same call and under the same power, he will operate. And this becomes valuable for us. Because listen, I have people all the time telling me, Say, well, Pastor, God can't use me in that way. Well, the only thing that would cause God not to use somebody in that way is they don't want to be used in that way. That's the only thing. I mean, listen, that's the only thing that would put us off limits with God on using us. Is somebody saying, well, I can't be used that way. Well, yes, you can. Can I tell you something, folks? I don't care if a person is, as long as they're saved, I don't care if they're 10 or 110. God's not done with us. Listen, if God was done using us, we wouldn't be breathing if we're His. God has a divine plan for every one of us. And it doesn't matter what your background is. And it don't matter what your education is. And it doesn't matter what your resources are. And it don't even matter what you think your gifts are. Listen, here's the amazing thing. God gifts when He so chooses to give. I mean, God can just absolutely give you what you never thought you had to be able to do what God's called you to do. It's just an attitude of availability before God. And Elisha was this kind of man. Now, I want you to look secondly at the call of Elisha. Watch how this began to happen. I mean, to me, this is just a fascinating passage. The Bible says, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now, the first thing you have to ask is, what in the world is the mantle? It's a robe. Now, here's what took place. Elijah took his robe. And when Elijah took his robe, he took his robe and cast it over the shoulder of Elisha. Now you say, what do you mean by that? How many of you have ever seen the old pictures of old pharaohs or old kings? And if you remember, what do they have? They have a sash or a robe that comes across their shoulder like this, on top of their outer garment. Y'all remember that? Why is that? Because that is their badge of authority. And so what you see here is you see first the robe and the call. When Elijah put this robe across Elisha's shoulders, notice what Elijah said to Elisha. What did he say to Elisha? Nothing. Notice this. Elijah didn't say anything to Elisha. He didn't go up to Elisha and put his robe across his shoulder and say, all right, Elisha, God's calling you to be a prophet. He didn't walk up to Elisha and say, hey, Elisha, all right, here's what God's going to separate you for. Here's what you got to do. Here's how you got to do it. Here's everything God's called. No, all Elijah did was walk by Elisha without saying a word and put his robe over his shoulder. But yet in that culture of that day, Elisha would know exactly what that meant. Number one, he would know Elijah is the prophet of God. But number two, he would understand the significance of that robe. That robe, that mantle, would be significant of three things. I want you to see them. It's a symbol of divine assignment. Now Elijah, who is the prophet of God, is now handing over to Elisha the position of being the prophet of God. And this divine assignment would be something in which Elisha would understand of not coming from Elijah, but coming from God. Now here's the thing, folks. Man can call us to things. But the essence is, what has God called us to do? You know, I had somebody come to me one time in the last church I pastored. And they said, Pastor, we can't get enough people to teach Sunday school. They said, what do you want to do? I said, don't have the Sunday school class. And they looked at me and said, what do you mean don't have the class? We've had the class for 30 years. I said, well, listen, if God's in it, God will provide for it. And if God will provide for it, God will call somebody to teach it. And if God's not putting on heart somebody to teach it, could it be God don't want to have it anymore? They said, well, can't we just beg somebody? I said, why? I said, why would you want to do that? I mean, think about it. If they're not impressed upon the Lord, if it's not in their heart to do it, Why in the world would you want to twist their arms and make them do something's not in their heart to do? You think God's going to be on that? I mean, this is the thing. Elijah didn't plead with Elisha, didn't beg Elisha, didn't give Elisha the pros and cons of being the prophet of God. All Elijah did is God said, anoint him, God said to call him, and Elijah just laid the mantle over his shoulder. And now Elisha has been set aside for a divine assignment. But here's the second thing it symbolizes, divine authority. And as I said, that robe would speak of the authority of the prophet of God. What authority are you talking about? God's authority. Now here's the thing, folks. Everything God calls us to, God enables us to do. Listen, whatever it is God calls somebody to do, God always and only is the one sufficient to accomplish it. And so we operate, if we're obeying God in whatever God's leading us to do, if we're obeying God, listen, we don't have to worry about failure and we don't have to worry about success because that's not our problem. If we're obeying God, all we have to worry about is being in right fellowship with Him. And if we're in right fellowship with Him, listen, the failure or success through man's eyes, that's on God, not us. And I want to tell you something, God never fails. See, we look at things through man's eyes. I had a pastor one time that I was counseling with. He was so discouraged. And he was discouraged because he was preaching truth to his people. And in preaching truth to his people, he had about 20% of his church got aggravated and left. And he called me and he said, man, I'm a failure. I mean, listen, he was talking about getting out of ministry. And I said, why in the world would you want to get out of the ministry? He said, well, I'm preaching and people are leaving. I said, and? And he said, well, that's not a good thing. I said, well, listen. I said, it depends on whose eyes you're looking at it through. I want to tell you something, folks. We cannot base what we think God is on based upon what we see with our eyes. If you do, you will absolutely drive yourself nuts. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want people to leave. Are y'all with me? And he didn't want people to leave. But the thing was, he was basing his ministry, success or failure, off of a handful of people that wouldn't receive truth. And you can't do that. Listen, if we did that, every time we'd go do door-to-door evangelism, we'd never go back. George, am I telling the truth? George helped with the missions in the borough doing door-to-door evangelism. I mean, listen, you knock on 30 doors, you're blessed if you get to have a conversation with one person. So are y'all getting this? Say amen. And so, listen, we operate in the authority of Him, not in the authority of ourselves. But here's the third thing. This mantle was also used as a symbol of adoption. Because this is what Elisha was saying. Not only was Elijah saying to Elisha, God is calling you to an assignment, and God is putting you under His authority, but God is also setting you aside unto me. And I'm going to be a father unto you. Because listen, Elisha is not going to start that moment being a prophet. He's going to start by being a servant. And he's going to learn under the tutelage of Elijah. And so this is so significant for us to understand. God will never call anybody to a position of authority until they first took up the position of servant. I had a preacher when God called me to preach. I'll never forget what he said. He said, don't ever stand until you've kneeled. Don't ever speak until you've been spoken to. And he said, don't ever lead until you first served. I want to tell you, that was profound. That was absolutely profound. How many of you heard of Adrian Rogers? Y'all heard of Adrian Rogers? Pastored Bellevue Baptist Church, was president of the Southern Baptist Convention for several years. Preached on TV and radio for years. He passed away a few years back with cancer. Y'all know Adrian Rogers, who I'm talking about? All right. Adrian Rogers, can I tell you how he interviewed staff? He would have a staff member, a potential staff member, come into his office. Adrian would tell his secretary, after 30 minutes, call my office. And so he would be talking to this potential staff member. His secretary would call his office and say, "Brother Rogers, we've got a toilet that's stopped up and we can't find anybody in the maintenance crew to unstop it. Is there any way you can help us out?" And Adrian would look at that potential staff member and said, "I hate to ask you to do this. I know you're just interviewing, but do you mind taking a moment and see if you can go help him with that toilet?" And Adrian said he'd have people say, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to do that." Adrian said, "Well, thank you. This interview's over." Are y'all getting this? Say amen. In other words, if we think through pride that we're too good for something, we're unusable by God. We're unusable by God. And this is the thing about Elisha. Elisha was available. Now, how do you know that? Well, look at the response to the call. You saw the robe. Now look at the response. The Bible says, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah." Now remember, Elijah didn't stand around to get any dissertation towards this thing. He just put the mantle upon him and kept walking. And Elisha, what did he do? Immediately, he left the plow and ran after Elijah. In other words, Elisha's response was an immediate response. And here in essence is what Elisha's done. "I've now chose immediately to take my hands off of one plow and put it on another plow." And he didn't have to pray about it. Why? God called him to it. Listen, if God's called him to it, what's there to pray about? You know, most of the time why we pray about things God's calling us to do? Because we're trying to find it out. I mean, honestly, think about it. We're trying to find it out. But Elisha, his response was an immediate response of yieldedness and obedience. Let me show you the third thing, the request in the call. So he runs to Elijah. And he's absolutely given himself to this call of God. But notice what he asks. "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And Elijah responds, and he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I to do to thee?" Now, I want you to see a couple of things with this request. The request of Elisha was not to go back to his family and second guess the call. Now, we do find the Lord dealing with that. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 9 real quick. Luke chapter 9, and I'll show you an example of that. Now, this was not Elisha, but here's an example of what I'm talking about. Sometimes we can use our family as an excuse to get out of serving God. Watch this. The Lord deals with it. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Bible says, "And it came to pass, as they went into the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." How many agree? If you hear that, you go, glory. Oh, but listen. Words don't always mean truth. "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." In other words, you want to follow me? Let me tell you what that life's going to look like. You still want to follow me? Are y'all getting this? Say amen. Now watch what happened. "And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, it wasn't the Lord was being cruel here. And it wasn't that he was being unloving here. What it's saying is the Lord knew these people's hearts, that they were trying to create an excuse not to follow. But that wasn't true with Elisha. Elisha had already determined he was going to put his hand to this plow. But what Elisha requested of Elijah is, let me go and just say bye. Now, Elijah's response is glorious. Here's what Elijah said. Now, if you read it, it's kind of hard to discern. He said, go back again, for what have I done to thee? Let me translate that for you. Here's what he's saying. He said, go do whatever you need to do, for I'm not the one that called you. In other words, God called you. So it's not up to me what you do. Let me put it to you in mountain language. You can do whatever God will let you get away with. I have people come up to me all the time saying, preacher, is it okay for me to do this? I said, well, what did God say about it? Amen? I've had people say to me, is it okay for me to, you know, they'll have some type of habit, and they'll say, is it okay for me to have this habit? And I'll say to him, I say, well, does God let you away with it? Sometimes I'll say, well, would you do the same thing inside the church? No, I'd never do that. I said, well, does that not tell you something? I mean, in other words, this is what Elijah's saying to Elijah. He said, listen, you go back, for what have I done to you? I've not called you. I'm just a vessel that obeyed God. God's the one that called you. And so this is between you and the Lord. And so Elisha, in this request now, yields to this and goes back. Now, I want you to look at verse 21. It's what I call the consecration of Elisha. And this, to me, has some principles that's absolutely needful for us to catch. The Bible says, and he, being Elisha, returned back from him, being Elijah, and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave it unto the people, and they did eat. I want you to look at a few things with me real quick. The surrender to the call. The surrender to the call. Elisha immediately goes back and does it hastily. Why? Because, listen, God's called him to something else. And Elisha is ready to get about the call. But he wants to have a farewell with his family. And so he hastily goes back. Just as he hastily dropped the plow and went and found Elijah, he hastily goes back to his family. He slays an animal, and they have a going away feast. And here is Elisha surrendering to the call of God and literally putting his past totally behind him. Do you know what cripples a lot of people in ministry? They can't get past their past. Let me ask you a question today. If we're saved and we truly repented, meaning we turn from our sin and turn to Him, and we forsook that sin, is there anything you and I could ever do that God's not able to cleanse and forgive us from? Anything? No. So why would that hinder your ministry? Now, is there consequences to certain things that carry over in certain forms of ministry? Absolutely there is. But listen, God's not going to call you to those things. But whatever God calls you to, nothing about your past can ever disrupt what God calls you to. Or God wouldn't have called you to it. Are you with me? Because God knows. God knows. And so we see the surrender. Elisha is now putting his past, his affairs in order to move on past his past. Well, notice the sacrifice of the call. The sacrifice of the call. Watch what Elisha does here. This is the great thing. What does he burn this oxen with? The instruments of the oxen. What is that? What was he doing when Elijah called him? Is he putting his hands off that plow and on another plow now? So why does he need that plow anymore? So the very thing he burns the oxen with are the very things he was doing when he was called. Why? Because now God's called him to something else. He doesn't need that anymore. And now here's the sacrifice. He literally burns the bridge of his past, burns the bridge of what he had, and now is moving on to what God has for him. And now all of a sudden, Elisha is literally in an act of sacrifice, forsaking everything that he knew just to obey God. Just to obey God. Philippians 3:8, this is what Paul did. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, garbage, that I may win Christ. Luke 14:33, Jesus, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be what? When God calls somebody, I want you to hear me. God calls you to whatever he calls you to. It's literally to allow God to have sovereign control over everything that you are. It's to turn from anything that would hinder you obeying God in the call. Anything. Whatever it is. Now, did this cost Elisha anything in the sacrifice? Yes. Let me give you a quote real quick that I found that absolutely lit my fire. Two quotes, actually. One quote said this. One man said it this way. All God is looking for is wicks in a lampstand. The oil and the fire are free. Let me say it again. All God is looking for is wicks in a lampstand. People willing to be wicks. And then God provides the oil and fire free. How many agree the Bible says we're a light unto the world? What makes us a light? What we do? What makes us a light? Y'all tell me. Reflection of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Christ. Are you with me? When you have a full moon, what causes that moon to shine so bright in the night? The sun. So what's the moon doing? Reflecting the what? So what makes you a light? The sun. You're just a reflection of who he is. Is the moon up there strutting and straining and saying, I'm going to show this world what it looks like to be a light at night? No. The moon's just where it is. In right relationship with the sun. And when it's in right relationship with the sun, guess what? You have a full moon. That's all it means. And so Elisha is now available to be this wick. Now, here's the other saying I found. We die by living to ourselves. But we live by dying to ourselves. How many agree Elisha's dying to everything that he knew? You say, well, preacher, I don't think he's making that big of a choice. Well, let me maybe ratchet up a few notches and let me show you what this really is costing Elisha. Let me give you three things that's costing Elisha. This sacrifice, it's a sacrifice of finances. Listen, we already know he's part of an affluent family and he's a son in an affluent family. So guess what? If he stayed with his family, with his father, guess what eventually would be his? But does that matter to Elisha? No. Why? God's called him. All right. Sacrifice of a future. Now all of a sudden Elisha, his whole future was tilling the farm, providing for the family, doing as my father did. But guess what? God has a way of turning up your future. And folks, I want to tell you, to be available to God where God can do anything He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants, that's what God's trying to do in all of us. Now, does our flesh push against it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, here's the last thing. Sacrifice of family. Would you not agree this was a sacrifice to Elisha to literally leave his family? Absolutely it was. Absolutely. You say, well, God wouldn't do that. Really? He did with Elisha. He did with the disciples. How many missionaries root up everything, leave their mom, dad, and family, and go off across the world just to obey God? Happens all the time, folks. In other words, there's a cost to discipleship. There's a cost to service. Now, let me show you the last thing and I'm done. The service and the call. Look at this last thing. It says, after they ate, what did Elisha do? Then he arose and went after Elijah. The idea there is hastily or hurriedly went after Elijah and did what? Ministered unto him. Now, I want you to see this. Elisha was going to spend 10 years under the tutelage of Elijah. 10 years. Now, how many of you agree? If you've been called to be the prophet of God for a nation, if you had any pride in you, how many of you agree you'd want to do it as soon as possible? But what was Elisha's heart? I'm going to serve as a common slave. Elijah, who is still the prophet, until God says otherwise. Matter of fact, if you read on, you know what the first thing Elisha did? Poured water upon Elijah's hand. It's an attitude of heart that's willing to serve others. Why? Because how can you be the voice piece of God or the example of God or in this case the prophet of God if you've never served the people of God? I had a preacher call me one day and he said to me, he said, Mac, he said, I need you to pray for me. I said, what's wrong? He pastored a congregation of about 50, 60 people. He said, I don't have time for anything. I don't have time for my family. I don't have time for anything. And I said, well, tell me about your normal week. He only preached one time a week on Sunday morning. He didn't do Sunday night. On Wednesday nights, they had group Bible studies, which he wasn't a part of. He said, I spend all week studying for Sunday morning. And I said, well, I said, you probably got a lot of sickness and shut-ins. I said, is that taking up a lot of time? He said, no. He said, I only go to the hospital probably once every month. I said, well, where's your time going? And you know what I came to find out? It wasn't a time problem. It was a willingness problem. Folks, I want to tell you, God's not about laziness. Y'all say amen. He's not about that. God doesn't have anything to do with that. And here's Elisha that's just willing to serve the prophet of God and learn from the prophet of God for 10 years, knowing that one day, but not knowing when, he was going to become the prophet. And just wash Elijah's feet for 10 years. Why? Because God called him to do it. No other reason. God called him to do it. Don't need another reason. Amen? I want to tell you something, folks. What would happen? I mean, just honestly, let's just be honest with each other. Can we do that for a moment? What would happen if within Liberty Baptist Church, and by the way, I want to praise the Lord because we have a bunch of servant hearts in Liberty Baptist Church. Y'all say amen. Unbelievable. I brag on y'all good night, or I brag on the Lord about y'all all the time. But I want you to listen to me. What would happen if just 40% of Liberty Baptist Church got such a burden for our community and for Bowling Springs that we couldn't help ourselves but just go and serve until we couldn't serve anymore? What do you think could happen? Well, number one, I don't think two services would hold everybody. Are y'all hearing me? All I'm saying to us, folks, is this. I want a heart like Elisha. That if God speaks, I say yes. And it don't matter what he said. That's what I want. I want a heart that God develops that way. That no matter what God says, I say yes to. Even if it makes no sense to me. And I hope and pray that's all of our hearts in here tonight. That we just want to obey God. Serve others, honor God, glorify God, and be vessels available to God. And folks, if we do that, listen, I promise you, only the Lord knows what will take place. Only the Lord. This is one of the most faithful, serving churches I've ever been a part of in my lifetime. And I would say probably will ever be a part of in my lifetime. I told Owen the other day, I said, Owen, I'm going to break your record. And I said, now, I may have a hospice nurse with an IV pole when I'm preaching, but I'm going to break your record. I can't imagine being in another place. But can I tell you, as good as it is, there's always room to grow. Are you with me? There's always room to grow. And listen, the heart of Elisha, that's what we need. Amen? Father, I love you, I praise you, and I thank you. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the divine examples you give us in these men of God of the Old Testament. And Father, I just pray that, Lord, you would develop in us, if you haven't already, Father, a heart that's willing to say yes to whatever you say. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, I love y'all dearly.